Okay, let's start. Father, we worship you tonight. We declare that Jesus is Lord. And not because we say so, he is Lord. Father, because you made him Lord. And so we submit to Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight and we submit this meeting to you. We thank you. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you have kings in this room and you have lords in this room. And you are the King and the Lord of the kings and the lords. And so we worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Not only do we thank you for your word, you are the living word. We thank you for the dear price that you paid to give us yourself, to give us your word, to put yourself within us. We worship you. We thank you for the blood. We thank you that your blood has not lost its power. We thank you that the blood is still alive. We thank you that the blood is still on the mercy seat. We thank you, Lord, that when we come to you, when we come boldly to the throne room of grace, when we come with a repentant heart and a true heart and an honest heart, we thank you that the blood still cleanses us. And we worship you and thank you. Lord, eternally we will worship you and thank you for that. Lord, tonight I thank you that your word flows. Your word flows like a river. I thank you that it flows from my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to my understanding, and I articulate it accurately and clearly. Thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us about prayer, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Okay, we've been talking about prayer, obviously, and in recent times we've been talking about the role of the Holy Spirit, how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We went through the steps. And we've started on the history of Samuel, touching on his history. And even though it's Old Testament, there are certain principles. We can take principles. They're not necessarily laws, but we can take principles and apply them to our lives in the New Testament. The Old Testament, as we know, is a shadow and a foretaste of the New. The Old Covenant and the better New Covenant. And we can take some things of the Old Testament, extrapolate them into the New Testament, into the life of the Spirit, into the life of Christ. That which was a type and a shadow now is life and is light to us. So we can do that when we look at Samuel. Now, we read quite a bit last time, but I want to touch again on Samuel chapter 3. And let's start from verse 1. And you'll remember what we've read, but I just want to let us hear it again, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Amen. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. As I was waiting on God, he showed this to me again. And maybe I touched on it last time. But the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. But now if we read a little bit further, we realize that it says there, that he did not yet know the Lord. So what was he doing? He was ministering to the Lord in faith. He was doing what the word told him to do. Yet he did not as such know the Lord's voice. But he stepped out in faith. He honored God. He did what Eli said. He was a man in submission. Amen? So he was ministering to God. And I want to encourage you, in whatever it is you do with the Lord and in your walk with the Lord, know what you know to do, or do what you know to do. Just continue to do that. Even though it might look like nothing's happening. If you've asked for something, you've prayed for something, and it looks like everything is working against that, don't let your confession change. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And you know, sometimes, you know, people have said to me, yeah, but how can God be so fickle? You know, you speak one negative word and then the prayer doesn't get answered. God is not mocked. God is true to his word. And he wants us to become holy like he is holy. He wants us to become like him. He wants Christ to be formed in us, and we must start walking like the sons of God. Romans 8 tells us that the whole of creation is travailing in birth, groaning in travail for the revelation of the what? The sons of God. You and I need to be revealed. But we can't even be revealed to the world yet, because he's not yet revealed in us. We are not walking in him as such. We have glimpses of that. We have seasons in our lives where we walk in him like that. And then other times it seems like it's just not there. So, continue to walk before God in faith. Even though it looks stupid, even if your mind shouts at you. I remember there was a time in my life, there was something that I was praying about. I was terribly burdened. I was burdened for 2 years. It was so heavy on me that sometimes I didn't want to go to work. And I would just get up and I would do it. I did it for 2 years. I got up early. I prayed in the Spirit. I put tapes in my car. I listened to the Word. I confessed the Word. I walked around with Kenneth Hagin's little book in him with those declarations and confessions. And whenever I sat at a client, I would pull that book out and I would speak them and I would speak them. I did it for 2 years. All I knew is that it will end. Whatever this was that I was birthing, it will end. And whatever it is that you start carrying, whatever God starts using you to birth, that burden that you're carrying, that burden will lift. But it's part of your training. It's part of that which Christ is carrying. We are partakers of that ministry of intercession. And as I shared last time, He carries the entire world within Himself. But we are going to share some of that. If we are true believers in Him, if we're true followers of Him, if we're truly seated at the right hand of God in Christ, we will carry it. But you must seek God in that and say, Lord, what is this? And I think I shared last time that the vet called me because he was burdened about something and that he had seen a vision about a certain person. And so I said, this is what you do. You pray until it gets a release comes. And in the process, God will speak to you. He'll tell you what, who, where, why. And you pray until the release comes. And so I asked him just now, and he said to me, he did come. He knows who the person is, and God ministered into the situation. We need to be obedient. Now, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. There was no frequent or widely spread vision. You want to hear the word of the Lord? If the word of the Lord is rare and not so frequent in your life, continue to minister before the Lord. People are phoning me and telling me, we're not hearing God. People that have been on the road for many years. And they're saying, we're not hearing God. I said, just hang in there. Hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to what God said. Hold on to the last instruction. Be obedient to the last instruction. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had dimmed so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out in the temple of the Lord, for the ark, or where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down. When the Lord called, Samuel, Samuel, and he answered, Here I am. He ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Eli said, I did not call you. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I. You did call me. Eli answered, I did not call my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. See? He continuously, faithfully ministered to the Lord. Yet it was not revealed to him, and it said there was a dearth of the word of God in the land. And the Lord called Samuel the third time, and he went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. The Lord told Samuel, Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of all who hear it shall tingle. You see? You press through in that time that you're ministering to God when you're not hearing. And God will tell you something or make your ears tingle. Of what He's intending to do through you. What He's intending to do in you. Amen? But just hang in there. Walk by faith. This is faith. You know, a lot of people are, you know, say, but Lord, show to me, you know, show me and then I will believe. And we sometimes do that. I know I've done that many times in my life. Oh, Lord, show me. and then I will believe. But it doesn't work like it. It's like saying to a fire. You maybe make a, you've got a fireplace in your house, and in winter you put the logs there and so on. And it's like saying to the fire, give me some heat and I'll give you some wood. We laugh about that, but that's what we do with God. Lord, show me and then I'll believe. There's no belief necessary because it's there. I mean, if I ask you the question, how many of you believe that you're here tonight? You believe you're here? No, you don't have to believe you're here. Your faith has worked for you. You are now here. You can know that you're here. On that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, and I now announce to him that I will judge and punish his house forever for the iniquity of which he knew. For his sons were blaspheming God, bringing curse upon themselves, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for or purged with sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. He was heavily burdened. He had eaten the scroll. It was sweet in his mouth, but it was bitter in his stomach, like in Revelation. Then he opened the doors of the Lord's house, and he was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here I am. Eli said, what is it he told you? Pray, do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he said to you. And Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And there's no point repenting there because God said, I'm taking you out, man. There's nothing to atone for you. So I said, okay, Lord, what's good to you? Do it. It's a hectic place that, I would say. Samuel grew. The Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. How's that, guys? That's an Old Testament prophet. He grew, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. By now you've gathered that Anika and I are, what shall we call it? Commitment control freaks. Fanatics. Yeah. Really. It's just because God is rigidly just. And I have seen God come through when I try and emulate Him, when I try to be like Him, when I stick to my commitment through thick and thin. It doesn't matter what happens. God demands commitment from me. So anybody that relates to us, we will demand the same from you. Now, it's not something that comes overnight. It's something you grow into, but you must cultivate that. Cultivate this thing of commitment, non-compromise. And I know in little things we still falter and we still make mistakes. But if we can't do it here with one another, we will not do it out in the world. If I can't pray for somebody here, I will not pray out there when push comes to shove. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. You see, his faithfulness paid off over all those years. And they knew. And the Lord continued to appear in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh in the word of the Lord. There you go. The man's heart was pure. You can see that all through this piece. So what does God teach us through the life of Samuel and his circumstances? We will not hear him if we have sin in our lives. There. Eli, the third time only did he realize that it was God speaking to Samuel. There was sin in his life. And he had to ask Samuel, what did the Lord say? I mean, he should have known. He's a leader in Israel. Both Eli and his sons had sin in their lives. Second point, we need to cultivate and build our relationship with the Lord by prayer and study of His Word. And it seems to me that Eli, he neglected this relationship with God. Yeah. You know, it says that Eli was blind. He couldn't see very well anymore. Let's take that further. Spiritually, he couldn't see anymore. Psalm 25, verse 14. I know we went over these things. I'm just doing it as a recap. This will probably be the longest series on prayer that I've ever taught in my life, that has ever been taught in history. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship Him. And He will show them His covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. That's what we want. These things don't just come. It's those that press into God. And then John 15:15. I do not call you servants or slaves any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. I have revealed to you everything that I have learned from Him. In verse 14, as I said last time, you are my friends if you keep on doing the things which I command you. How do you find out what His commands are? By spending time with Him. He needs to quicken the word to you by His Spirit. Simple illustration I always use. You've heard it maybe 100 times before. You say to God, God, I need a new job. Where does it say in the scripture, go and work at ABC shoe store? It doesn't say that. The only time that you could actually hear God speaking to you, well, son, daughter, I want you to go and work at ABC shoe store, is if you have a relationship with Him and you can recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, then you will hear in your own spirit, I want you to go and work at ABC shoe store, because that's not written in here. Relationships, study, prayer. Eli became complacent. You know, this is my job. You know, these guys grew up in those families, you know, like the Levites and so on. That's what they were. I mean, that's the job you got. Complacency causes us not to hear God's voice anymore, even if we have been serving the Lord for a long time. Because if you're complacent, what does it mean to be complacent? It means you're kind of stuck in a rut. And if God is moving in a different direction and you're still going on in this rut, when God speaks outside of your paradigm, the way that you think, you're not going to hear Him. So we need to be flexible. We cannot become complacent with God. And we need to learn to hear. It's something you learn. It's something you practice. It's something you cultivate. You need to learn to hear and recognize who is speaking to us by exercising our faith in the area of hearing His voice. There's nothing that you do with God and in your walk with God that is not done by faith. It's got to be done by faith. Amen? And we've seen now, Samuel did not immediately know God, but in faith, he continued to minister to the Lord, and his faith paid off. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 25 tells the story of the sower. And we all know the seed was sown, right? On stony ground, it was sown in the path, it was sown amongst the weeds and the thorns, and then some of it was sown on good soil. I want you to look at Mark chapter 4, verse 22. I'm not going to read the whole parable of the sower, but we know from that the disciples didn't understand it. And so Jesus Himself said, the sower sows what? Yeah, but what is the seed? The word. Jesus explained it Himself. He sows the word. When we draw close to God, we will start hearing Him. We will start hearing His word. We will hear His word from His mouth. Not so. Right. Then that word is what? Seed. Into the soil of your heart. So Mark 4:22-25 in the Amplified Bible I'm reading. Then he says, this is now after he's explained the whole thing. Remember he said 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Okay, and then verse 22. Things are hidden temporarily, only as a means to revelation. Why do some people not seem to grow in Christ? Because they're not prepared to pay the price to press into Him. What has this got to do with prayer? Everything. Because you want to pray the will of God into a situation. When God starts raising you up, and there are some of you here sitting, you're going to be praying for nations and people groups. And you need to hear what to pray. Because you can't pray for every person. You've got to discern what's the spirit behind things. Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. God will reveal things to you in your prayer, in your time with Him. Revelation is progressive. If you think back on your life 5 years ago, you think of the revelation you had about certain things. God has added to that, and you're walking in a greater fullness and a greater understanding of certain things and a greater freedom, hopefully, in Christ, because revelation is progressive. But it's because you've been faithful to press into Him. Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. You want that revelation? It's there. It's hidden temporarily. You will get the revelation. If you don't understand something, you press into God, it will come. The understanding will come. For there is nothing hidden except for it to be revealed. When I got saved, God told me, He says, tell the truth. Walk in the truth. Don't lie. If you are found out about something, tell the truth. Doesn't matter how embarrassing it is, tell the truth, because I can only work with the truth, and I can bring healing and restoration right away with the truth. But if you lie, and it gets found out after a couple of years or after a long time, then it takes a miracle. But then the damage is severe. People's lives have been affected. Your own conscience gets seared and so forth. And it takes a miracle from God. So, whether it's the Word of God, the revelation that needs to be revealed, God said to me, He says, whatever is hidden in your own life or in circumstances or situations or people, those people that you minister to, what's hidden, I will reveal to you. And Annika and I have seen, and I walked in that before I met her, and I said to her, watch, you will see, this thing will come, it'll burst open. And then we wait. And sometimes we've waited a long time, years we've waited, and then the thing comes open. And God exposes the thing. But I'm specifically talking here about the Word. The Word of the Lord to you. You're waiting on God for somebody, something, a situation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret in order that it may be made known. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening. A lot of the New Testament, if you go and read some of the original transcripts or way that they've written it, it's in the continuous present tense. Be listening. When Jesus cast out demons, I mean, when I read that in the Wyss translation, I mean, I jumped over the moon just about. Because the way He casts out a demon, come out in Jesus' name, and I command you to go and keep on going and never return. How's that? That's a good way to cast out a devil, man. Because they have to obey the word of the Lord. So they have to keep going. And the example that I had is I watched a video of Lester Sumrall And he went into a certain town. He went to the town hall and the place was packed out. And we know that he was a powerful apostle. And God used him to tear down strongholds and principalities over regions and nations and stuff. And so he's ministering in this place, and there's this demon running around in the front and making this massive racket. And some of them apparently make smoke and all sorts of stuff. You can't see the people and so on. So he told the thing to shut up, and he told it to go sit in the corner, and he bound it. And so it was sitting there. So he carried it because he was used to those kind of things. So anyway, he ministers, and God moves, and the place is fine. And so there it's sitting, and so he leaves. About 6 years or 10 years later, he's invited to the same place. He's ministering in the same hall. As he walks in, the demon's still sitting in the corner. Couldn't move. And he understood that thing was bound by his words. It could not do anything. So I got very excited when I saw that when Jesus cast out a demon, he said, I command you to come out, and I command you to go and keep on going and never to return. I mean, can you imagine that? Those things can't fly. I mean, he's just going, man. Yeah. He has to. You see, so sometimes we need to be careful how we pray. Because, I mean, you could be binding stuff, and I mean, then there's this heap of demons. Okay. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening. So we need to be listening all the time. We need to cultivate a culture of listening in our own hearts and in our families. Even when we sleep, we should, in our sleep, be able to hear the voice of the Lord for him to speak to us, to give us a dream or whatever it is. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening and perceive and comprehend. So hear, see, understand. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear. Now remember, he's been talking about sowing the seed of the word, right? The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. We need to meditate on the word. We need to think about it. I mean, in our house, I mean, tapes are running all the time. I mean, 24 hours a day, CDs are running. While we're sleeping, we're getting it. I mean, it's just all the time. I mean, Sasha married this woman here. He didn't know what hit him. I said, now you take that thing, you go and listen to it 100 times. What? 100 times? Yes, 100 times. And when you've listened to it 100 times, come back to me. So he comes back 100 times later. And I say, okay, talk to me. And I listen and I listen. So I hear, yeah, he needs another 100 times. But we're starting to see the fruit in his life. Hearing the word causes faith to come. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. We need to take what we hear, think about it, meditate upon it, study it, discuss it with God, discuss it with one another. And then it'll start bearing fruit in our lives. This thing is not just a flash in the pan. It doesn't just happen. Something we've got to do. And then I like this part. And I'm going to read that part again. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Hear what the Lord is saying. Press into the Lord. Press in until you hear. And then take what he hears, write it down. Think about what he says. Think about what he says. The last couple of weeks, the Lord's been telling us to brush off our scriptures that he gave us. Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations, make disciples of them, and you'll pick up snakes and all that stuff. You know, heal the sick, speak in tongues, the whole thing. That was the first verse that I ever got. And God said, that's what I'm calling you to do. That's the first thing. The second thing was Galatians 4:19. I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. And then Titus 1:1. It says there that my job is to teach you, to give you insight, and teach you how to discern and how to have understanding and grow in maturity. So that's what I think about. That's what I meditate about. And then the Lord said, go and take your prophecies. Dust them off and start reading them again. It's a season for you to be refreshed in those things. So that's what we're doing. Because I want more besides. I can see a light bulb there. I want more besides. You see, the Word of God endures forever. It'll change your life. For to him who has, will more be given. Take what you've been given and work with it. Think about it, meditate it, speak it, live it. And from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. There's not one person in this room that wants to go that route. Everybody here has been given a lot by God. You've got to take that word and let it bear fruit in your life. You've got to hear. If you don't know how to hear, you press in until you hear. We recognize God's voice by learning from those who already know His voice. Just like Eli knew what God sounded like, Samuel learned from him. Even though Eli had sinned in his life, he had walked the road with God. He still understood certain things. And so Samuel learned. And that's what we do. I trust God that you will learn from us, that you learn from me as I teach you. Because I learn from men of God that hear God. So they teach me how to hear. And it'll be imparted to you. Samuel heard three times, but only the fourth time after Eli had told him it was God, was he able to respond. So many times you hear things. And with many of you sitting here, you've come to us and said, I'm hearing this, what does it mean? And I say, okay, I believe this is what it means. Oh, now I understand. Yes, that, or I'll wait, I'll let you know. Or I'll trust God that he will speak to you. And the Lord says, no, you go press in and find out what it means. And sometimes, after 3 months, Derek still didn't understand. And he says, listen, remember I told you that thing 3 months ago. What does it mean? What did you hear? Now, I don't know what I heard. I said, okay, this is what it means. Oh, praise the Here. But then, because he had sought God, all of a sudden he understood that thing. And I didn't have to teach him that lesson again. Because he had paid the dues to press into God. And even though in 3 months' time he didn't understand, he had pressed enough into God so that there was an impartation, there was a pattern in his spirit, was just ready to receive it. And so when I said, this is what it means, it just slotted into place. It's like a key that just turns the lock. And it just opened up a whole world in the spirit for him. Amen. Another point, we need to set time aside to seek God's face and wait upon Him. One of our friends and mentors in the ministry, a powerful prophet of God, Alan Burrell, he tithed his time. So he would get up at 12 o'clock at night and pray 10% of the time, of the day's time, 10% of 24 hours. She knew about it, 24 hours. 2 hours, 24 minutes. 2 hours, 24 minutes. And many times you would push through till 5, 6 in the morning. And God has used that man powerfully, not only in our lives, but in many situations in this nation and in other nations. But he felt that that's what God was saying to him to do. I'm not saying for you to do that. But God has blessed him because he tithed his time. Find the time. We need to spend that time to enter into the Holy of Holies. Let's look at Psalm 27. Psalm 27 verse 4. Old David says here, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, inquire for, and insistently require." Now I prayed this thing, I don't know, probably thousands of times. Went to the Lord in the morning. And I put my own name in there. "One thing have I asked of you, Lord, that will I seek after, inquire for, and insistently require, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in your presence all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty, the sweet attractiveness, and delightful lovelinesses of you, Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in your temple." And I would pray that to the Lord. "For in the day of trouble, you will hide me in your shelter. In the secret place of your tent will you hide me. You will set me high upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. In your tent, I will offer sacrifices and shouting of joy." This tent. That was a tent. Yes, David was talking about a physical tent. But this body here is now the tent. In this body, in my tent, I will offer sacrifices and shouting of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Have mercy and be gracious to me and answer me." Then verse 8. "You, Lord, have said, seek you my face, inquire for, and require my presence as your vital need." That's what the Lord said to David. So he's saying that to me. So I said, "Lord, you are saying to Jan van Rooyen, seek my face, inquire for, and require my presence as your vital need." What's a vital need, people? Remember those cartoons of the guy crawling in the desert? Water. Water. I saw one of a guy that, a Martian that crash landed on Mars somewhere. And he was crawling. Ammonia. Oh. Ammonia. Anyway. That's it. Okay. "You have said, seek you my face, inquire for, and require my presence as your vital need." My heart, so I respond to him. I've prayed this so many times, especially if I'm down, and it's like he's not there. And I just take this and I do it. "My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire for, and require of necessity, and on the authority of your word." Because he just told you to do that. You cannot be more obedient than that. He says, "Seek my face." Okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm seeking your face now. Your word says I must do that, so I'm doing that. If you think that you failed miserably, if you think that, "Lord, I don't count for anything. Everybody hates me today." Take that verse. Go to God and say, "Lord, you said I must seek you. I'm going to do this now. I'm obedient." The moment you start obeying that verse, something will happen inside you, because right there you're obedient to God. You know what a good feeling that is? You know what a good sense it is within you when you know I'm right now, I'm obedient to God. I challenge you, take that and put it into practice. It'll change your life. Praise God. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. It's one of our foundation scriptures as well. This is the area where Christians battle. Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. "Set time aside to seek God, not only to speak to Him, to seek His face, but to renew your mind with the Word of God. I appeal to you therefore." What does it mean when somebody comes to you and, "I appeal to you"? It's like a guy grabs you and says, "Brother, I insist you need to do this. This is really important that you do this. I appeal to you and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service and spiritual worship." Just a reasonable thing. Then he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, the way of thinking." It's the system of the world. That word there, the world, is the system. It's the system of thinking, which then affects your attitude and it affects how you act and live in the world. Do not be conformed to this world, this age. Do not be fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind. You go and study that out. The word is renovation. To renovate. Renovate your mind. If you renovate a couch in your lounge, what normally happens? They strip that thing bare until just the frame is there. They take all the old foam, all the covering, everything off, and then they look to see if the frame is still strong. If some of the nails and screws are broken, they put new ones in. If some of the beams are cracked or something, they put new ones in, and then they cover it. It's in essence, it's the same couch, but it's been renovated. That's what he wants us to do. And sometimes we walk around with so much stuff from before that we cannot walk in God's best. And he says we need to do this. Now relate this to prayer. We're spending time with God. We're hearing Him. He's planting seed in our life. He's helping us renew our minds. Because the biggest problem Christians have is to hear God's voice and actually find out what His will is and actually walk it out. So He says, do this. Get new ideals. Get a new attitude so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in God's sight for you. That's how you find out what God's will is for your life. That's how you do it. It's not a booming voice from heaven. Go and spend time with God. Renew your mind with the Word of God. And He will speak to you through the Word. And as I said, he's not going to say, well, ABC store. There's no chapter and verse here. You know, Moses 6 verse 6. Right, so I've shared a lot about hearing. When we have heard, after all of this, he's temporarily hidden stuff. He's temporarily hidden his word so that it can be revealed to us, etc. And now we're hearing this word. Once you're hearing it, you're responsible. When we have heard, we must act in faith upon what God has spoken. That's the thing. We need to do that. I mean, little Samuel, he's this little chappie. His mother's so desperate for a child. God gives her a child and she's so thankful. She takes this little baby to the temple and there he serves. And so he just does what he's told in faith. He starts worshiping God. He starts acting in faith, doing what he's told. God requires. So there he's doing it. So he reaped a ministry. Hebrews 11:6. And we all know that one. Thanks. Without faith, what does it say? Right. Faith in what? Faith in His Word. Faith in what He has commanded you to do. Without faith it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him. For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. He rewards those who seek Him out. So we've just gone through this. He says, seek my face. And so you go to God, Lord, I'm telling you that I'm seeking you. And then it says here that he will reward you. If you diligently do that, he will reward you. I can guarantee you that. I've walked this. And then James chapter 1. James 1 verse 22. But obey the message. Be doers of the word and not merely listeners to it. Because if you're only a listener, you betray yourself into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror. He thoughtfully observes himself, then he goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. that word must become so real inside us that we see it. We see ourselves walking in it, that we see ourselves live it. Amen. Verse 25, but he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, in his life of obedience. So we've touched on quite a bit here. Samuel and Eli and so on, they've taught us quite a bit. I want to start just as an introduction for next time. I want to talk to you or start speaking to you about the ways that God speaks to us. It's one thing I can tell you now, you need to learn how to hear God. But if you don't understand how God speaks to you, then you're not going to get very far. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. From verse 1. Now Miriam and Aaron talked against Moses, their brother, because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite woman. In fact, an Ethiopian. Yeah. So you see how it starts off. Miriam and Aaron, hey, and Moses, check here. He's married this Ethiopian. That's how it starts. They start talking, murmuring, gossiping about it. Okay? And I mean, we've all had that. You start talking about something or a situation and you're not talking in the right spirit about it. Guess what happens? That thing just starts running. Yeah, and that and so. And who do they think they are? And there you go. So yeah, they're talking about because he's now married an Ethiopian woman. Okay. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And then it says, and the Lord heard it. So we mustn't think that when we start gossiping and stuff, that God doesn't hear it. Because we're actually starting to employ spiritual power there. Because I think it's witchcraft. Am I saying that we can't speak about somebody? No, we can, but the attitude must be right. Our attitude must be to minister into the situation and say, okay, Kara has this problem. What do we do about it? I need counsel. Lord, I'm not hearing what you're saying. So then I will go to somebody that I'm submitted to. There's this person that I'm counseling. This is the situation. If my attitude is right, we're not going to run off. Yeah, well, you know, the church is so full of these kind of people. Eh? The other day I was at this other church, you know, and there were three women sitting in the front. They were all like that. I don't know what's wrong with that pastor. Eh? That church is not going to last long. You know, if he's going to tolerate that kind of nonsense, I mean, we can go like that. Okay? My attitude should be right. Should be to be a blessing, to bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring restoration. And so therefore, we can't just share with anybody. We can't just talk to anybody. We need to discern what goes on in their hearts before we speak. Anyway, the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, gentle, kind and humble, or above all the men on the face of the earth. And Moses wrote Numbers as far as I understand. So he says he was a very humble man. One day when I write a book about me, then... No. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses. I'm sharing about the way God speaks to us. Eh? Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three to the tent of meeting. And they came out. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the tent door and called Aaron and Miriam, and they came forward. Ish, man. Because he heard. He was there. They didn't see him. And all of a sudden, now there he is. Pillar of cloud. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision and speak to him in a dream. But not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted and faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth. I speak directly. I speak clearly and not in dark speech. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" In other words, why were you not respectful? Why did you do that? This is not just any Oki. This is not just any prophet that I, you know, the other prophets' dreams, visions is what I give. But this guy, I speak to him mouth to mouth. How can you just do this? And the anger of the Lord was kindled. Right. We see he talks about dreams here. He speaks to prophets in dreams. This is one of the most indirect ways that God speaks to us, because we're sleeping. You're unconscious, there you're lying, and the dream comes. And sometimes we have other kinds of dreams as well. We have just dreams about our day as your mind sorts itself out and rearranges stuff and reformats certain parts of the hard drive and, you know, defrags certain parts and moves information around and so on. And then you dream as well. And then you can have dreams that come from the second heaven. You know, the prince of the power of the air, he rules over the second heaven. So dreams can come from there. Why do we see those things? Because God wants us to minister into that. And we were reading something by Rick Joyner this morning. God will show us negative stuff. Not necessarily do, "And thus says the Lord, and South Africa shall go down the tube because the government is this and the Christian church is this." And it's not for that. We need to discern it. We need to discern the dream. We need to go to the prophets and apostles and say, "I'm seeing this." And then they will say, "Okay, what is God saying?" We need to stand in the gap. We need to stand together. We need to find out the word of the Lord. What do we speak? Because the word of the Lord supersedes all of that stuff. And so we prophesy. We create in the spirit. But dreams, it's the most indirect way. And that's many times where people get attacked while they're sleeping. You know, you get a demon coming into your bedroom. Well, the last one that came into my bedroom, he's not. I can assure you, he's not there. He's still going, and I'm sure as he bypasses the others, says, "Don't go to that guy." Yeah. I think it happened 3 or 4 times. And by the 4th time, I thought, no, I'm not going to have this thing jump on me in my bed and throttle me every time. And man, I woke up there and I said to it, "You dare do that again. I banish you not only from this house, from this property, I banish you permanently. You do not come near me. I am out of bounds." That was it. Never happened again. Because there you are. Sleeping. God says he gives his beloved sleep. And here comes this coward. I mean, how cowardly can you get? I mean, anybody can do that. Really. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Yet it's still indirect. It's an indirect way of communication. Matthew 1 verse 20. We want God to speak to us, mouth to mouth. Matthew 1:20, "But as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him." This is old Joseph, eh? "Saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from or out of the Holy Spirit." See, the angel appeared in a dream. Chapter 2, verse 12. And receiving an answer to their asking, they were divinely instructed and warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. Remember, those were the wise men. So they departed to their own country. They were warned in a dream. I mean, it's not something that they were seeking. The dream came to them. Verse 13. Now, after they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, get up, tenderly take up unto you the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there till I tell you otherwise. Again, a dream. They were not necessarily seeking God. They were just ordinary people, just worshipping God, just going about their lives. So the dream came to them. It's an indirect way. Verse 19. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and said, it's time to move. Verse 22. But because he had heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being divinely warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region of Galilee. See, again, the dream came to them. They were not seeking the dream. There's enough precedent in the Bible for us not to say, please, Lord, give me a dream. Because those second heaven region people, or persons, or whatever you call them, spirits, they can give you dreams that really look like God, but they're not God. You're not supposed to seek after dreams and stuff. You see, every time the dreams came to them. He says, yes, I will give you dreams. But he says, I will give you the dreams. He didn't say seek the dreams. He said seek the gifts, for instance. He said seek his face, but he says it's a good thing to seek the gifts. He encouraged, Paul talks in Corinthians, he says, I encourage you to seek the gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Amen? So there's certain things that you're encouraged to seek and some not. Then the other thing that we saw there, visions. And you can receive those in a trance state, or you can have an open vision, or you can just, we can sit here and your imagination, God will take your imagination and show you something. But most of the time, those things come to you. It's not something you necessarily seek. If you start seeking stuff like that, you will get into error. I can guarantee you. Most of the false religions and error that has happened in the world is because people were seeking after those things. And as Derek just said, seek the face of God. Seek Him. And if anything extra comes, well, great. Acts chapter 10, verse 10. And it's talking about Peter that went onto the rooftop at the sixth hour. Verse 10, but he became very hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, a trance came over him. See, he was just hungry and he was just sitting there on the roof in Israel, there in the nice sunshine, summertime, and trance. And he had a vision. Okay? Acts chapter 11, verse 5. And Peter began, or verse 4, Peter began at the beginning and narrated and explained to them step by step the whole list of events. He said, I was in the town of Joppa praying, and falling in a trance, I saw a vision of something coming down from heaven. Okay, again, it came to him. He wasn't, I want the vision, I want the vision. Chapter 22 of Acts, verse 17. Then when I had come back to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple enclosure, I fell into a trance, an ecstasy. Amen. So he was just praying. See, something like it could happen. You worshiping God, and then God decides He wants to visit you like that. So we can have dreams. We can have visions. We can have dark speech. And we read just now about dark speech. Now, in modern vernacular, that means a riddle or a conundrum. So God speaks like that. I've been spoken to like that. Some of you have been spoken to like that. You know it's God speaking to you, but you cannot understand what He's saying. Why? Because He wants you to seek Him. He wants you to learn the language of the Spirit. It's not just for everybody. For some of us, He wants us to press into Him so that we learn to understand things. It's like in the military. When I was in the military, we got a security clearance. And there were different levels of security clearance. And then you would get tested and you fill in forms and whatever. And then they say, okay, you're ready for next level up. And then there was, you know, what was it? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there was, I can't remember the English for it, but anyway, it's eventually ultra secret and all sorts of stuff. Only certain people could, because they could trust those people not to speak about those things. And there was a certain way that the documents would be brought to you. They would be sealed in a certain way, and you have to open them in a certain way, and there can only be certain people in the room, etc., etc. And it's like that with God. We press into Him to get those secrets that are temporarily hidden for them to be revealed. And then, and we, I will go into the scriptures next time. And then there's direct speech. And we have that in the New Testament. God's voice in our spirit, speaking directly to us. And under direct speech, we have God's audible voice. And we will touch on some of that. And then we will probably get into some of the other ways that God speaks to us. And one of the most important ways He speaks to us, which is the inner witness. Amen. Father, we thank You for what You have taught us. I thank You, Lord, that You have imparted and written Your word into our spirit man. Thank You, Lord, that You bring it to our remembrance. Father, we thank You that we walk this out. Father, I believe Your word. I believe everyone else here believes Your word. And so, we want to walk it out. And so we commit to walk it out tonight. Father, we thank You that You've blessed us with Your word. Father, Your power, Your anointing is in Your word. And so I thank You, Lord, that we can receive that. And so by faith, Lord, we open our hearts. We receive Your impartation tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, that You bless each one as we go from here. Thank You for the fellowship of the brethren, in Jesus' name. Amen.